I'm sure that you've all heard the term the golden years. The golden years of Egypt, the golden years of fashion, the double golden birthday, the golden years of retirement. Well, generally, the golden years have come to represent a period where peace and harmony and stability and prosperity are enjoyed, in that people don't have to work too hard because everything seems to be provided in abundance. Discouragement with the state of the modern church and an overly optimistic view of church history have caused some Christians to believe that the church once had a golden age. I once asked a member of a church I was serving if they could tell me when the golden age of their church was. Several people were identifying a time in the church's history when everything was perfect. The church was in tune with God and the world. Well, this person I asked replied that if, as all these other church members were proclaiming, there had been a golden age in the life of his church, he must have blinked and missed it. More evidence that where nostalgia is concerned, all that glitters is not gold. And the people who assembled the Bible seem to agree with this sentiment. The Hebrew Scriptures begin with the recounting of an idyllic time in humanity's story, a paradise right here on earth, the Garden of Eden. However, this golden age only occupies a small space in the Old Testament, especially when we consider the multiple page accounts of the wanderings in the wilderness, the struggle to claim the promised land, and the heartbreaking reality of the Babylonian and Assyrian exiles. 2,000-year-old history of the Christian church begins with a golden age of its own, a time when the gospel was proclaimed and mighty works of power were evident, when believers were all of one heart and soul and in one accord. They shared all that they had with one another, but not surprisingly, this golden age, like all others, didn't last, not for long anyway. But it stands forever as a vision of Camelot, and more than that, as a foretaste of the kingdom of God to come. And it all begins with Pentecost. Now, we are accustomed to thinking of Pentecost as a Christian feast, so we often forget that it existed as a Jewish feast for many centuries before the Christian church inherited it. It is the second of three great Jewish feasts. Pentecost is celebrated 50 days after the Passover and the offering of first fruits. Pentecost, or as it was also called, the Feast of Weeks, is also known as the Harvest Festival. It was the time that the people of God celebrated the giving of 10 commandments at Mount Sinai, the law that would help form the basis of the community that had been let out of Egypt. And unlike Passover, this was not to be a quiet family time of remembering, but a time when all people could come together to renew their connection to God and to one another, to recall the ties of both freedom and law that bound them together. And in an often overlooked part of the feast, the people of Israel were charged with leaving behind some of their harvest for the poor so that they would be able to collect and meet their needs. See, the community of the faithful was to give life and hope to outsiders as well as the ones in their community. So in the centuries between that first celebration of the Jewish feast and the coming of the Holy Spirit, Israel's fortunes rose and fell many times. King David's great reign and Solomon's grand temple were long gone, destroyed by armies as the Israelites were led into exile. It is now Herod's temple that everyone visits, far smaller, much less impressive than the one that came before. And Herod is certainly not David or Solomon. Herod is, in fact, a puppet for Rome. Rome, the occupying force and thorn in the side of Israel. So is it any wonder that the people living in Palestine at that time were longing for a return of all that had been lost? They were looking for a new harvest festival filled with God's glory. pilgrims and proselytes, priests and scribes, the rich and the poor, all made their way to Jerusalem. As you can imagine, it was a madhouse. They came with their frustrations about their present situation. They came with their anxieties about the unknown future. They came with their longings for past glories and a renewed golden age. That Pentecost they came. And so did the Spirit. Suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where the disciples were sitting, and divided tongues of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And those images from Act 2 are stunning images, provocative images, images that bring to mind the wind of God that swept over the face of the waters at creation, and especially the breath of God that gave life to the first human being. It is breath and wind that always bring life, and it always comes from God. With rushing wind and tongues of fire, the apostles experienced the presence of God in overwhelming power, but also in great personal intimacy. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, sent forth to proclaim the good news of God in Jesus Christ. They were to heal aching souls, to bear witness to divine, incomparable love. People responded. Thousands of people responded. And believe me, that Pentecost day ended quite differently than it had begun. With words that we still use today in so many of our Christian ceremonies, the remainder of Acts 2 offers an amazing summary of the community that was born that day, with new believers devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. The apostles displayed signs and wonders, and their followers had all things in common, selling their possessions and sharing with one another, and new members were added daily to their number. The Spirit had come. The fearful had found power. A new community was born. It was a very good beginning. It truly was a golden age. And then things began to fall apart at the seams. It has been said that the greatest obstacle to future success is past success. From our failures and mistakes, we can learn, but our successes, well, our successes can fool us into thinking that what worked then must be what will work always. We standardize the way we did things, creating a one-size-fits-all system for doing church. Like Peter on the Mount of the Transfiguration, we try to build tents and to stay there. And when we are forced to come down from the mountain, we spend years pining for what we left behind. The golden age always appears to be back there, back then. However, our past successes, our golden ages, all too often get in the way of God's new work of gold in front of and beyond us. Pentecost was a success, a great one, in fact. But the later introduction of newcomers who were somehow different from the leaders created a problematic situation. Tensions began to surface. Some newcomers, like Barnabas, somehow bridged the gap and were accepted in the group. Others, like the Gentiles in Acts 6, were not. These newbies, these outsiders, were viewed with some suspicion. They had not been part of the golden age. They didn't know the inside jokes. They didn't fit in. They were intruders, outsiders. And to let them in meant risking no longer having things just the way they liked them. And yet it is the newcomers, then and now, who often are most open to the new possibilities that God is bringing. even as the insiders long for the things of the past. Actually, following the success of Pentecost, the apostles stayed where they were. They did good work, and they built up their own community, but they remained in the shadow of the temple, within the limits of their comfort zone. For the movement to grow beyond its Jewish roots, new leaders were needed, and a new base needed to be established. In Antioch, believers from Jerusalem brought their message, some only to Jews, but others, usually recent newcomers themselves, spoke about the faith to Gentiles and other outsiders, proclaiming that salvation is for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. And as normal as it sounds to say that today, believe me, it was the source of great argument in those days. In the city of Antioch, in what is now modern-day Turkey, a great number became believers. Perhaps most importantly, though, in Acts 11:26, we come to what may be one of the most important verses in the New Testament, where it says, "And it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians." It was in Antioch, not in Jerusalem. We may celebrate Pentecost as the birthday of the church, but it might be more accurate to speak of it as the beginning of a gestation period that comes to fruition with something truly new in Antioch and then beyond. It is in Antioch where we first see a separately distinguished group where believers were willing to reach out to people beyond the synagogue. Antioch would become the base for new works of mission, works that would reach beyond both ethnic and geographic boundaries. The apostles sent out from that base would not be from among the original 12. Rather, Barnabas and Paul, former outsiders, would serve as Christ's ambassadors, turning their world upside down. We have been living in a time where the world feels as if it has been turned upside down. This pandemic, which none of us could control or predict, no matter how much we wished we could, it will forever be a marker in history. There will be the things that came before COVID and the things that came after COVID. And whether we want to see it or not, whether we can admit it or not, this has been a golden age for the church. For us here in Ilion, as the First Presbyterian Church, we have struggled and had to find new ways to do things. Many sacrifices have been made in the name of the common good. Unlike much of the reported world around us, we have not been selfish and demanded our own way. Rather, we continue to discern God's way throughout this time. And perhaps it doesn't get said nearly enough, but every sacrifice that you have made has been appreciated far beyond our ability to say enough about it. We have made decisions as a church together from the beginning, and we will continue to do so, relying on the Spirit to lead us. It is only the Spirit that could have seen us through this far, and it is only the Spirit that can see us through until the end, because, friends, it is the Spirit that holds us together. And so it began with Pentecost. But it couldn't stop there, because the good news is that the golden age is not sometime back then, whenever then was. No, the golden age is now, and every now yet to come. Indeed, it is the journey itself as we encounter the living Christ again and again in new and unexpected ways. And it is in the new and unexpected people that we meet along the way. Let's walk with the Spirit. Amen.